Welcome to The Future Built Smarter, a podcast in which IMEG engineers discuss innovative and trend-setting building and infrastructure design with architects, owners, and others in the AEC industry. I'm your host, Joe Payne, back again with my co-host, Mike Lawless, IMEG's Vice President of Innovation. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Looking forward to it.
Today's topic is artificial intelligence and IMEG's entry into that in the use in the engineering industry. Our guest is Steve Germano, who is IMEG's software engineering team leader. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So to get us started, there's a lot of definitions and thoughts about artificial intelligence out there. Steve, what does artificial intelligence mean to you?
I look at AI today as a series of tool sets for different purposes, and there are several different types of AIs. There's computer vision, which is used in a lot of different ways. I think most famously today, people making pictures and movies now and videos generated by AI. And then there's the large language models, right, which refer to as LLMs, and that's your chatbots, your OpenAI chatbot, ChatGPT. There's several different manufacturers or creators of those models today. And so there's a couple different tools out there for different use cases. So I look at them as tools today. And then AGI is artificial general intelligence. That's where the industry wants to get to, where one AI can kind of pick its own tools someday and do everything a human can do.
You know, I think we had a lot of discussions about IMEG and AI and how do we apply that to help our engineers. You know, as we started down that journey, kind of what was that first problem that we wanted to apply AI to solve?
So John Cook, who's a longtime IMEGger, is one of our current product owners. He came to me one day and he had seen a need where he was going out to our offices and doing trainings on lots of the software that we've developed for, you know, Revit add-ins and plugins to make our engineers more efficient. And he says, hey, I keep going to these offices and, you know, the new companies that are coming on board as IMEG grows through acquisition quite rapidly. So we have new companies coming on board. I'm doing a training and people are like, hey, it'd be great if we had a tool that did this, or great if we had a tool that did this. And John's like, well, we have that tool. It's right here. Or we have that tool. It's right here. So just a product discovery kind of idea popped up in his head. He was like, hey, Steve, can we build like a search engine where somebody can just search and say, do we have a tool that does XYZ? And that was really the root or the original use case. And at that time he had asked, I had been diving in on my own time and working on a chatbot for building codes. And I said, you know what? I think we could build a search engine, but even better, I think we could use a chatbot where you can just talk to it in natural language and hopefully get the answer and get pointed to the right tool. So that's kind of how it all started. And then we built that prototype and it looked pretty cool. And next thing you know, it's like, where else can we go with this?
So the upshot is that today we have a very busy AI chatbot, which we've named Meg, playing off of our firm name, IMEG.
Yes, it kind of started as a search engine, and it kind of today is a search engine as well. And so, you know, as technology's progressed with some of the LLMs and the AI technology there, really the key factor, and to really kind of summarize what an LLM does really great, is they figured out how natural language can be understood by a computer. And that alone just unlocks so many capabilities. So now you can talk to the computer, get information back and answers back that are relevant, right? In natural language. And so we have all this data across our company, both structured and unstructured. We have tons of loose documents, Word docs, PDFs, PowerPoints, right? Stored all over in different places. And then we have a lot of structured data, which is our databases, right? So our Salesforce data's, you know, different information coming out of Dell Tech, you know, project information, that type of data structured in a database somewhere or several databases in our case. And we wanted to build a singular entry point, a singular search engine, if you will, to help a user find information they're looking for across the company in a single place. And so no easier way to use a new tool than to just talk to it, right? So the barrier to entry for everyone was just, hey, just type a sentence and ask what you want, just like you'd be asking a colleague sitting next to you. And so when you start to look at the use cases and kind of the value add, it's, hey, if I have an engineering, a really tough engineering question today, I might call someone like Mike and be like, hey, here's my scenario, spend 10 minutes of his time going through this information. And then Mike's got to go and research and then come back. So now it's not one person researching and using time. It's two people researching and using time. So an hour later, you know, you might get to your final information, your answer. Whereas as we start to store more of senior engineering knowledge and more, you know, industry information, the chatbot can find that information, hopefully surface it to us like in seconds.
One of the questions, Steve, is, you know, we all watch the news. We see these things where, you know, people type questions into ChatGPT and it gives you these wild answers and these crazy back and forths and, you know, kind of these hallucinations that sometimes happen. You know, we're an engineering firm. How do we protect our engineers from getting, you know, inaccurate information when they do ask Meg questions?
Yeah, it's a great question. It was one of my primary concerns in starting this project was that was a requirement. Like, we cannot have, you know, invalid information or false information being replied by the AI chatbot in a confident manner, right? So we had to make sure that data was accurate and it was never hallucinated on. We've implied some recent patterns that are AI LLM patterns that you can put into place that search, retrieve data, and then insert it into the LLM and say, hey, only use this provided information to answer the user's question with, to make sure that the AI stays on guardrails. And that was a big task. That was a big challenge. But you know, at this point today, I can confidently say we've been able to keep it on the rails.
These large language models are trained on this huge data set of the internet, but our internal Meg chatbot is trained on our internal documents. What were some of the thoughts, Steve, as we thought about like what is the content, what is the data set we're going to put into Meg to get things started?
Yeah, that was a big challenge. Less technically on my side or the development side, more on coordinating with department heads and what we call Meg librarians today. Each department has their own information and data they're really concerned about, and we need someone to curate that. And it almost becomes like a full-time job to a certain degree to get your data scrubbed. There were memos from 10, 15 years ago that were in our SharePoint. And are those things still relevant, right? Who's tasked to go through and clean that data up? So we realized once we got to a certain point in development, like, hey, we could service all the data. So we built this tool to grab everything and anything, but do we want everything? Well, who's tasked with cleaning and managing and manicuring that data? So that became a several month effort of working with different departments, sanitize and scrub their data to make sure that outdated stuff is gone, stuff is updated, and then who's in charge of maintaining and keeping that up to date moving forward. And I think the company overall has really benefited from that effort, right? And that's just a data effort, first and foremost. The chatbot will find anything that we have in several different places, but having the right data surfacing is really important. And so that's done, I think, provided a great value to the company overall and just going through that effort in general.
How long did it take us to do this from this idea from John Cook to having something that, you know, we could test and then ultimately use? You know, what kind of effort, what kind of barriers to entry are there on doing something like this?
It was about a full year, and if you go all the way back to the original prototypes, about a year and a half of total development time, and there were several engineers in and out of that project. I stayed on that project for probably about 3/4 of a year consistently throughout that time frame. But it was a pretty decent effort. If you would do it again today with the current state of technology, it might be a little bit less, just given the advancements that are out there in the documentation. But yeah, it was fun. And while we were building it, we were also working with Microsoft, and you know, they had just partnered and done a very large investment with OpenAI, and they were building their chatbots and their what they're calling now as co-pilots internally. So I'm working with their devs and talking with them. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's what they're seeing. And we're actually working as a community all together at the same time and kind of learning from each other, helping each other out. So it's been a pretty fun adventure.
To hear the second part of this conversation with Steve Germano and learn more about iMeg's development of an AI-powered chatbot, visit us at imegcorp.com and go to our Insights tab, or listen to us on any podcast app. We'll be back soon with more of The Future Built Smarter. Until then, thanks for listening and take care.